Hello everyone, and welcome back to This May Get Hairy. In this episode, which was actually my first ever episode that I recorded, and it was with my amazing pal, Ella Grace Denton. Ella Grace is a talented singer-songwriter, and also she is someone who suffers with alopecia areata, so we chat about all that in this episode. We also speak about her alopecia areata and the correlation between the hair fall versus her mental health, which is something that a lot of women deal with. Ella had tons of interesting insights in hair in general, and hair when it comes to gender, hair within the queer community, and also hair as a form of self-expression. I hope you enjoy it. Ella Grace Denton.
You know, when we met 7 years ago, I remember us meeting in Notting Hill and we were introduced because I think it was through a mutual friend. I can't even remember who it was.
Yeah.
But we met and I remember us just sitting there in gales for hours and hours and we just chatted about our alopecia and we kind of shared stories, shared experiences. And I remember it was at a time for me when I was really only really just coming to terms with my alopecia. It's when I kind of first started to put myself out there as a hair-free woman and I was fucking petrified. And I remember we spoke about all that and I remember you giving me so much courage. And if I remember correctly, you had just gotten over a bad bout of alopecia at the time as well. And so alopecia is definitely a topic I'd love to touch base on today, and because I'm sure we both see our hair loss so differently now as so much time has passed. But I thought what I'd first like to do is kind of for you to take us back to the beginning, to, you know, early Ella Grace, and really just chat about your hair journey throughout the years. And, you know, what was your relationship like with your hair from the earliest that you can remember to your teenage years and your 20s? Because I know us as women, we put so much energy into our hair. So I would just love you to kind of talk on that a little bit.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I kind of can't believe it was 7 years ago. I'm like, God.
Maybe I rounded it up, but it's definitely around 6 or 7 years.
Yeah, it's definitely too long and also wild to think for both of us, the journey that this has all gone on, because our first conversation was around all of this. But starting from the beginning, so I grew up white, blonde, really curly hair, obviously entered my teenage years and was immediately, had kind of gone brown, mm-hmm. sadly, mm-hmm. and then was like, it's time to dye it, it's time to straighten it,
yeah,
we're done, I'm taking control over my hair.
Like, the blonder, the better.
Oh, yeah, it was bleached, it was straw. I tried to do it myself all the time, and it would go orange, and then I'd have to pay for, like, highlights and hairdressing appointments. The highlights were, like, £150.
So expensive.
I have to, like, split it with my mom and beg her for months. And
it was it's the same in Ireland, too, I think, because... But in England, there's definitely more natural blondes. But in Ireland, let's be honest, there's no natural blonde. So being a blonde in Ireland was like your currency. So the blonder you wear, the hotter you wear, the cooler you wear. So I remember we all just put our hair through so much grief. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's mad, actually. Blonde was such a big thing. Mm-hmm. It still is. Like, I was actually... That is so weird. I was coming to this podcast today and classically I was walking behind a woman who had bleached blonde hair today. Really straightened hair, and I was thinking, God, I remember thinking that looked so good, and now I don't, sorry.
it's how our tastes change, though, when they evolve, right?
Totally, and also just wanting to keep it natural, and I think after you've been through something like alopecia, you're like, health is wealth.
100%.
But yeah, so I had this bleach blonde kind of big hair, and it was really defining mm-hmm. for me. I went into that, like, era where you're taking control of your sexuality and I was really wild and quite promiscuous and was like having a great time, was really out there. And yeah, then I reached my 20s. Mm-hmm. I actually had a really awful narcissistic relationship when I was about, I'm going back actually, when I was about 16, 17 mm-hmm. with this guy for 2 years. And he ended up cheating on me and it was just awful, kind of classic tale. And I got out of it and I dyed my hair like dark brown to black and cut it off.
It happens. It's so funny, us as women, when we go through a breakup or a hard time, it's like you say, it's our way of taking control and changing and it being our choice and just wanting to break free of whatever that was that happened. It's like our time to just break loose. You see it happen over and over again and it seems to be such a prevalent part of how we grieve that relationship as well.
Totally. And I think for me, there was something incredibly patriarchal about my blonde hair, and there was an influence there, and he was like the epitome of the patriarchy, so I think of like the worst parts. And so I think for me, cutting it all off and dyeing it black was like, I don't care, like, I don't need this, this is mine, I'm not submissive in that way anymore. And that's kind of where my journey really began, with self-empowerment through hair, like what hair meant to me, actually looking at the constructs that had made me the way I was and had made me relate to my hair in the way I did.
I guess it's not your fault as well, you know, how we relate to ourselves and our hair, a lot of that has to do with an outside influence, do you know what I mean? And that can take a long time to actually get down to, well, what do I actually want? What do I want to present to the world and how I want to look?
Yeah.
And when did your alopecia, because I remember we spoke about when we met all those years ago, but you're going to have to remind me, with your alopecia, I know it was alopecia areata, which is, as we know, it's an autoimmune disease, and it kind of affects the hair follicles. Our body basically is fighting against us and thinks that they're bad for us, which is really irritating because they're not. Hair follicles are good. So with your alopecia, when did it start? And was it something that has kind of always been in your life, or... Yeah, talk to me about when you first kind of found a patch and how that was.
Yeah, so going back, actually, I kind of skipped over this, but when I was 13, I got moved to an all-girls school that was very strict, from a really liberal, no-uniform mixed school nearby. And it was like an hour away, this school. And the only reason I went was because we were really surprised I was like brainy enough to get in. And I went and I hated it. And immediately I was like, I have to leave this school. And obviously had no choice in the matter. My parents were like, just do 1 year. And I wanted to leave and I felt really trapped. And then I got my first patch and I only had one, and my mum got the steroids, rubbed it in, went away. And I actually moved school, never had another patch again until my early 20s.
How big was the patch?
I want to say... the size
is kind of hard.
A glue stick.
Yes.
I'm gonna go with that.
Like the top of the glue stick. Yeah.
That was it. I don't know why that came, but that was it. And then it went away. But the hair grew back on that one patch, like really kind of frizzy and slightly damaged. Mm-hmm. So I always had that.
And at that time when it happened, because I remember what it happened to me, I don't remember being fearful. I just remember being so confused by it all. I literally thought my brother had scalped me, or I thought, I had no idea.
And did you start with patches?
Yeah. So similar to you, a patch at the back of my head. It was completely like sticky bald. My friend kind of found it in history class, and I was like, what on earth? I was showing everyone, like it was like a prize thing to show everyone, be like, everyone look at this weird bald patch, because it was probably the similar times when you were going through. Alopecia wasn't really, still isn't really a term that people kind of throw about. So yeah, I just remember being so confused. How did you feel when it was going on?
I think I was already feeling a bit victimized by my situation that I couldn't get out of. So I was like, I think it was a relief for me that people could see the stress that I was telling them about. And so it became more serious. So for me, I don't think, similarly to you, like I didn't know what it was, but I knew my mum was like, we'll sort this out. And it did go away. So, I mean, that made a difference.
Yeah. And in terms of when did it then... So after it kind of grew back, you kind of mentioned it changing in colour, which is so funny. Changing in colour and texture, it happens all women. When hair does grow back, even with chemotherapy, for example, women are so surprised when they lose everything and then it comes back and it's like not you at all. When did then the alopecia then start coming back? Did you say in your 20s it started kind of creeping back?
Yeah, I think I was about 23. I'd had a really healthy relationship after my narcissistic relationship, and then tumbled straight back into a narcissistic relationship with a guy that I really, for like 8 months, was really persistently like, nah, like this is just a casual thing. And he pursued me to the ends of the earth, to the point where I just lay back and was like, cool,
gave in,
you can be my boyfriend. But the whole time, once I said yes to him, my whole body was like, no. Like, even though I was saying yes, my whole body was flaring up. I was so stressed. I had like incredible memory loss from that time. I don't remember much of it. Like the level of distress in terms of ignoring my instincts. I've always had this, and I had it at school when I was younger. And the only way I could add them up were like, oh, I'm in a situation again that I can't get out of. And that trappedness and my nervous system just going nuts. But also at the time, he had really persuaded me that I was incredibly unwell as a person and that I need to be looked after. And I felt like I was in like the 1950s. And so I got this first patch, and I remember finding it in the kitchen at the back of my head. And again, so soft, like sticky. There's like nothing there. It's a really weird feeling. And I remember smiling and being like, now they'll get it. Like, this is my escape, you know?
Yeah, time to leave. Your body's telling
you. Yeah, and I was like, someone will see it and be like, something's wrong, because no one, he was so charismatic and so persuasive that everyone was on his side, was like, yeah, she's not well, that, you know, you're looking after her, fab, like my parents as well. And then it didn't really make a difference because he was like, you're really ill, you know?
And if you have someone telling you that constantly and you're in that place in your life where maybe you're believing it to some degree and someone's constantly saying that to you, of course, that's going to sink into your mental health.
Yeah, I mean, it was a really wild relationship, but the patches just got bigger and bigger and bigger. Like from this one, again, glue stick, probably in exactly the same spot in the back of my head, it just grew into like the size of a small plate, like the whole back, of my head.
And is this the worst it's kind of throughout your alopecia journey? Do you think this was the worst time
it got? I remember my mum not wanting to tell me that I'd like blocked all the drains on their boat that they live on, because I was losing so much hair. It's all over the pillows. Like, I don't know if you have memories of that.
Well, no. So I've never had that. I have one memory that I actually cried about the other day. I hadn't cried about my alopecia in a long time. Was that I don't remember anything coming out in the shower or anything like that, or waking up on my pillow. But I remember every time I'd wash my hair, my mum would comb it. My mum would comb it and then she'd hide the hair. She'd like take the hair and then I'd put it in the bin beside her. So that was always taken away from me. My mum kind of took that into her hands and took it into her control, similar to your mom. I always think with alopecia, the parents, I think it's almost harder for them in some ways as well, because they're so wanting to protect. But how did it feel when you saw it falling out? I guess seeing it maybe come out in clumps, that must be really scary.
Yeah, I think I was so surrendered to like this really abusive relationship and not being able to get out. You have like learnt helplessness where you don't think you can ever change it. And so I was totally numb. And so the hair falling out was like, and this on top, like great. But I wasn't like particularly emotional about it, which is interesting, I think, because I didn't have the energy to be.
Well, you're probably shut down at that time,
weren't you? I was so shut down. And then, you know, I started to get them on my hairline, which was like stressful. And then you're moving your hairline, then you get them on the rest of your hairline. But as long as I was in that relationship, it never stopped, never got better. They'd grow back a bit and then another big one would come. So it was always moving.
Mm-hmm. And how long was that kind of period of time?
A year?
God, it's so stressful. It's amazing that you can now look back and really truly see the links, because I've always had a theory around alopecia that nearly everyone I've met, or hair loss or autoimmune, I guess you could say even more broadly, you know, most women or men that I've met who are going through something like this, they're the nicest people you'd ever meet. They're unassuming, but the common thread I've always seen is that they suppress and they push things down. And I always thought this was my theory, this is my alopecia theory, but then I've been listening to a lot of he's an amazing trauma specialist called Gabor Maté. He's amazing, isn't he? And you know, scientifically proves that if you're pushing down healthy anger, your body's not going to deal with that well, and it's going to be in fight or flight mode, and hence something is going to happen. But it's really difficult. I find that now, where I think I have come to terms with my anger, and my hair still isn't sprouting back. But I do see it with so many women, that really them addressing who they are and doing work on themselves, that hair just comes flying back.
It's wild. Like, I remember, because the doctors obviously have no idea. They're like, it's an autoimmune disease. We don't really know what that means. Here's some steroids.
Here's some steroids. You'll get a really rashy head. It'll be really sore. Yeah, here's some like injections.
You can only do the steroids, like two rounds of the steroids, or your scalp gets too thin. I was like, this is wacko jacko. There is no way I'm going to like melt down my scalp to get my hair back. And I was like, I don't know, at that stage, like, not in a nuanced way, like, pretty anti-farm, pretty, like, the world is so corrupt and we're all being sold stuff and we're so unhealthy and everything's wrong. So I was big on my own research. But just like logically, I was like, an autoimmune disease is your cells attacking them, your like body attacking itself, thinking something's wrong, mm-hmm. and having this autoimmune response. I was like, something is really wrong on the outside, but I can't fix it. So I think my body is trying to fix it inside, mm-hmm. and it's not going to do anything. You know, I'm just going to get really ill. But I was like, my body's in fight or flight. And so it's fighting, mm-hmm. but it can't fight the outside because I'm so checked out that there's no way.
Was there a turning point towards the end of that relationship? You know, how you got out of that relationship? Was there something that shifted or changed that you got the strength to be able to leave?
Yeah, I think I was just done. I think yeah. I had some really amazing friends. And I remember one of my close friends saying, Ella, you need to get out of this. It's like he's holding you really close, but then also hitting you with a bat. And there's like, and I remember being like, yeah, it is. And looking up different terms, obviously it's way more nuanced than just the term narcissist, but looking up these terms and seeing the like point to point, I remember being in his house and being like, oh my God, and sending it to my friends. Yeah. So I tried to break up with him a lot. It would always end up with, you're ill, you're trying to run away from the only thing that can save you. So break up, like, I think that was like 5 breakups at least. And then finally, I just got all his stuff, dropped it at his house, blocked him on everything.
Brilliant.
And ejected and had my friends like help me eject. Brilliant. And then that was that.
Yeah. And how long do you think it took then for your nervous system to kind of settle? And did you see your hair then starting to sprout new life again? Or you in turn sprout new life
still
again?
Still settling, to be honest. Like, I think I got out of that when I was 23, maybe nearly 24. And I had to really actively settle my nervous system down because it just believed there was something outside of me still. Yeah, I mean, immediately there was change. It definitely, like, it never got worse than it was during that period, and it slowly started to grow back. But I was still, it was really interesting because I was still getting patches, but they were getting smaller and smaller over like a 2-year period, you know? It was like they were popping up, but they were smaller, and I knew at that point they always went away.
Okay.
So
I guess that's lovely to know because with alopecia areata, it's the coming and going, right? I've never had that. I started off with alopecia and then it went. That was like, cool. At least I can now get on with this life, which is going to be a bald life. And, you know, thankfully, I'm a happy bald woman now. But at least I kind of know that I'm not dreaming or wishing or wanting or anxious about anything shifting and changing. I can imagine, could be wrong, but I can imagine that not knowing if it's going to come back again, and that like you're totally out of control. And if your hair is so out of your control, I guess then you might want to seek control in other ways in your life as well.
Yeah, I think, I mean, a way that I gained control, which is kind of might sound backwards, but after the relationship, I went and got all my hair cut off, like really short. And I did it in this, like, I did a little ceremony and I cut it all off and I had like this little lammy, like small, cute hairdo. And my hair was so thin, like my hair texture totally changed. It was like across the board, my hair was thin, which I'd never had, and was growing back like lighter and weird colors. And it was strange, but cut it all off, which was really liberating because, again, you're taking control of the situation. For so long, I was like scraping back my hair, trying to hide this huge patch at the back of my head, wearing hats, and then seeing pictures of myself and seeing a patch and just...
Oh, I think that's it. When you see the pictures of yourself, I have friends like that too, where day to day you look in the mirror and it seems grand, but then you see a picture of it and then it jars you.
Yeah.
In that time when it was kind of at your most worst, I guess you could say, in alopecia, did you explore, were you just kind of whacking on hats, some sprays? What was your kind of covering up mechanism,
yeah.
I guess?
So I mean, sometimes I just put like brown eyeshadow on the patches if I was out and about or I knew that like we were going to an event or something was happening. I moved to Cape Town and with a new lovely boyfriend, and we went to a lot of festivals. It's like a big thing there, and there's a festival called Africa Burn, which is like, yeah, the Burning Man out there. And we were going to it, and one of my friends bought a load of wigs, and I really went to South Africa for that year and a half to like calm my nervous system, because we just hike, we were in nature, we'd swim,
the most perfect place,
healthy,
to do it.
The lifestyle was like so. We went to Africa Burn and we had like one little mirror in the camp, and I chose this pink wig and I put it on And it was like, I hadn't realized I'd lost my confidence until I put on the wig, and then was like, oh my God, I'm beautiful. And I didn't know, because I'd just been like, whatever, I just look the way I look, like, I've got a boyfriend, we're sorted, like, whatever. But yeah, I remember putting on the wig and being like, there's no going back now. Like, I'm not going to be able to leave this festival without wearing a wig.
I'm keeping this wig, it's staying with
yeah,
me.
Yeah, honestly, pink wig, that is not pink coming wig off my was head. Full of dust, and I just, like, tied it back. Also, like, bandanas, I know you do that, and I think you sell them now.
I do, yeah.
And, yeah, had headscarves, but then people were kind of weird about the headscarves. Like, I kind of get, like, really dodgy comments about people being like, you look really ill. Like, you look like you're in cancer treatment wearing these headscarves. And I'd be like, God, like,
it's a also what that really annoys me is that it's a fashion choice. And I guess with hair loss, people just don't know enough about it. So if they see a headscarf, their thoughts immediately go to one place, when actually, like, get a grip. There's loads of reasons why a woman would wear a headscarf, dude.
Yeah, let's not assume. I love my hair scarf era. And yeah, so I had wigs. I got a blonde wig that I love, but they were never like your wigs. They were like slightly plastic.
But they do the trick. I think that's the power of wigs, is that they can make you feel like you said, they can bring back something that you've lost. They can bring something new into your life. And I'm sure maybe, for example, your pink wig would make you feel so different to how you would feel if you were in a blonde wig or you without a wig. And I've seen it so many times when people sit in the chair here in the space, I really just see eyes light up, shoulders relax, people sobbing. You know, we had the lovely, do you know Gail Porter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So I remember she hasn't worn a wig in around 20 years. After she lost her hair, she had long, blonde, luscious hair, similar to yourself. And it was her first time putting on a wig after that long. So she hadn't seen herself without having hair in nearly 20 years. And then seeing that reflection in the mirror, what that does to you is really quite amazing. They're fantastic. So after you tried on that pink wig, you didn't take it off. And then that was kind of your exploration wig phase then, I guess.
Yeah, I think I had about 6 months to maybe 8 months of wig wearing, and then it kind of came on and off, but I think my hair started to grow back more, and I was like, I want to give it space to breathe. And I'd wear them when I felt a bit insecure, wanted some fun, like it was kind of lighthearted. And
I guess what they're there for the serious moments, but they're also there kind of for the fun moments.
Yeah,
as well.
I just want to feel good. Like I felt good in myself, but also I felt better with a wig at that time. So yeah. It just was
and,
what it was.
And did you feel like when you put a wig on, you know, you mentioned saying that you really felt that kind of confidence again. So did you really feel like you entered into the world a different woman when you were?
Totally. You I had walked a wig different. On? I also, like, people looked at me differently, like men as well. It was actually wild. I don't know if you've experienced this.
Crazy. Well, I've really wanted to. I've done it in my own social experiment. You know, if I wear short cropped black wigs, the kind of men that look at me is totally different to when I wear a long blonde luscious wig. I noticed the looks are very different. Some you don't get as many looks, but the kind of men that look is totally different.
I've had that experience, and I think culturally I also noticed that, like, when I'd enter different areas of London that were like really had like really strong cultural kind of, if I go to Shepherd's Bush, or like there's like amazing cultures there that have like taken over, and there's people from the same country that have gone in there and they have their space, and short hair on women is like, on straight women, mm-hmm. is totally normal. And so I would get looked at as if I was straight. Whereas, like, no guy would look at me when I had properly short hair, because I think I looked like a lesbian.
It annoys me that I think that stereotype perhaps is still out there, that women with short hair equals you are a lesbian or queer or
totally.
Whatever you might say. So do you see that shifting at all, or is that still very much a stereotype within the what people think?
I definitely see it shifting. I think I remember going on a trip to Paris, and like I really fancied this girl at a restaurant, and she had like the short, cute, like gamine haircut, and I went over and gave her my number, and she looked at me like I was totally mad. And then I suddenly realized, oh, you're straight, and in Paris this is like just chic normal hair.
A pixie cut's just normal.
Yeah, and there I was like also creating like an assumption that if you had short hair you were gay, which was really funny because I'd felt like stifled by that during my time with really short hair. So but I do think in London it is changing, and I also think like the stricter gender binaries in terms of how we express ourselves, including men, a lot of nail polish, there's long hair, there's skirts, there's like, it's really opening up, and I think it does make a difference.
So where would you say you're at kind of with your hair journey now as a queer woman? Do you feel like it is a way to put out to the world who you are or not.
I mean, it was so interesting because I'll try and keep it short, but I, during the phase...
Don't keep it short, it's good.
Okay. During the phase with my short hair, I sat with a woman and blew my mind and I was like, oh my gosh, I'm so gay. And it was mad to me. And I also suddenly, for the first time in my life, looked very stereotypically gay. So it was kind of this universal moment for me where I was like, suddenly my hair is like totally representative of who I am. And there's been so many layers of shedding the male gaze, like seeing myself through someone else's eyes constantly. I started to see myself through my own eyes and no one else's. Mm-hmm. And yeah, the short hair has been like really exciting for that. I don't think I would have ever wanted it, seeing myself through the male gaze. And then suddenly I was like, oh, all my queer friends have very similar haircuts to me. I've had mullets. I've had it.
I've saw the mullets. I want to chat to you about it. I absolutely loved them.
Yeah, I loved my mullet. My mom hated it. She was like, in the 80s, we did it. We all look back and we hate it. So I don't know why you're doing it again. And I was like, well, I love it. So I've had like little mohawks and I've had really short hair. And also when you have short hair, you can dye it loads and then just shave it off. So that was really fun for me. But I do think the queer community utilize hair in a political way, and I really like that.
And would you think that now, where your hair is now, do you feel most you?
Totally. I think I'm in an in-between stage because for the first time since my alopecia, I'm growing it out, like long. Okay. And so I'm just like not touching it now. Mm-hmm. I still do get like tiny patches. I want to say like a pencil, like the bottom of a pencil.
Stationary. I love these stationary ones. They're amazing.
But like really, really tiny. And I see them as soon as I've had like a stressful moment or I've cried or like some, honestly, it will be like my nervous system for a day is deregulated.
Yeah, how do you, so I know what I used to remember from the doctors telling me that you have a stressful moment and 3 months later you notice it. What's it like for you? Have you noticed a timeline?
No, it's literally in a few days.
Really?
Yeah, and I always was told that 3 months later, and I look for it and it will be in a few days. I'll be in the shower and I've got a few strands coming up, but they're tiny. I'm sure I have like a little one now, and they move around, and I had one on my parting like a month ago, but they grow back really fast. And I think because of my alopecia, I've become an incredibly chilled out, grounded person, because I had to have like an incredibly chilled out nervous system to not be having autoimmune responses, because I'm really sensitive to them.
Do you find you have any other autoimmune things? Because a lot of the time when we have alopecia, that can come hand in hand with other autoimmune. Do you suffer from anything else?
No, I've got nothing else, thank God. I mean, who knows? But I really avoid stressful situations, which is really like defined my wants, needs and kind of personality in a big way, because I'm just really sensitive to stress, like more than a lot of people out in the world. Because my body responds immediately, which is a blessing. Because
I
know
it's a blessing, and it's definitely made you who you are. And like you say, it's definitely happened for a reason. You know, all of us, why we've gone through this. Nearly every woman who I've met who's been through something like this, you come out a more empathetic, thoughtful, and a lot of the time, more of a chill person. Because, like you say, you have to be.
Totally, and it breaks down your ego.
Yep.
Like, big gotta time. Let that go. I was like, okay, well, don't have a choice now because I'm not looking so hot. So like, yeah, you have to reframe your self-worth.
Yeah, it'll be interesting now when I pop on some wigs on you maybe later, see if they light up something in you.
Yeah, I'm shy.
I can't wait for my long hair.
I'm shy.
One thing also I wanted to chat to you about, it's something that I don't have a choice in the matter. So I have no hair anywhere, not a fucking morsel on my body. And it's funny how the, you know, stereotypically a woman should have no hair from their eyebrows down, so they say. So when I do see women growing out their hair as like a choice, or maybe even not a choice, just because they want to, I think it's so amazing. And how by you growing out your hair, it's almost like you are making a statement. And I saw a picture of you on your Instagram with your arms up when you had pink, you dyed your armpit hair pink. And I thought it was so cool. Just chat a little bit about that, I guess. Is that something that you do because you want to, because you shouldn't have to? Yeah.
I think that after my relationship with the first bad boyfriend when I was like 16, 17, and I cut off all my hair, I was like, and I actually then dated a gay man who then came out, and we both were like, oh, that makes sense. Because I was like, who's the like least threatening, friendliest, loveliest boy I know? And obviously ended up being very queer. But when we were dating for like a year, obviously broke down a lot of, because he didn't really have the male gaze in the same way. And I was really questioning. I was kind of at my first feminist exploration of suddenly, you know, I think what the Barbie movie did for a lot of young girls.
Oh, I love the Barbie.
I was at that moment. And that's also when I started growing out my body hair. And I had like a very supportive boyfriend after that as well, who was really supportive. And I was just very outright with my beliefs and my thoughts. And it was definitely an exploration. And I still do that, but so it's been like 10 years I've been doing it, but it's, you know, if I shave, I want to, like right now I'm shaved.
Yeah. It's a choice in which everything should be.
Yeah. And I love it. I love like being really flexible with it. And I feel it doesn't affect how I feel. Like I actually often feel sexier with body hair.
Yeah. So I guess body hair is there for a reason. At the end of the day, it's there to entice feeling and enhance feeling and all the rest of it. Stuff that I probably, it's been a long time since I've felt hair anywhere in my body, but I can imagine, you know, it is there for a reason. So keep it if you want to. It's down to you.
But it was wild also seeing my mum's response to body hair, because she was like, you know, if you have hairy armpits or hairy legs, like,
Guess there's that stereotype that it's unkept, I suppose,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she's just not feminine. And my mom's like super down to earth, really, like has never worn makeup, has never owned perfume, has never owned skincare, like super salt of the earth. And she was like, this is so unattractive. And I was like, stop oppressing me from the inside. Like, you're supposed to be my ally here. Like, God, even the women are doing it to each other now. But luckily, yeah, we have a relationship where I say all the time. So
it's down to you. But it's so amazing just to kind of sit here with you and think about, you know, it has been so long since we've seen each other. And I really just feel that we've both kind of come into our own. And it's so amazing to see you and hear you speak about things so eloquently. Mm. It's so beautiful. And to close on, would you give any advice to your younger self or any kind of younger girls who are going through something like alopecia? Do you have any words of wisdom to share with the girls?
Yes, I do. I think my main point would be, like, love radiates from you, from the inside, and beauty, and we're not told that. We think it has to be, like, outside, on, or in. And so if you're going through something like this, get within yourself and be there. And you actually have a one-up on everyone, mm-hmm. because you don't need any of the things that other people do to shine. That would be the first thing. Second thing would be that change is inevitable. Yeah. And as you've experienced, it's a journey. And where you are now is so different from where you were when I met you. Mm-hmm. Like, struggle is a means to understanding, and then understanding it is a means to acceptance, and acceptance is a mean to love. And it's just, it's a path, and trust it, like really trust it. And it's okay if you kind of take a few steps back and go a few steps forward.
I guess that's life, right? Well, thank you so much, Ella Grace, for coming on this.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. It's been so nice. Now I'm going to get some wigs on you now, see how you feel.
I'm so excited.
Thank you.
Thanks.
I hope you guys didn't feel my nervousness too much in that episode. And yes, I'm still suffering. Make sure to follow and subscribe and to spread the word. Let your pals know all about it. And yeah, thank you again for listening. And until next time. Bye.